right. Corey, would you come? Jose? Where'd Jose go? Hey, come on down, Jose. Jonathan, come on. Scott, Jennifer, Creed, Tatiana. Yes. You know, we are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. In order for us to function in the state as a legal entity, we have become a corporation, nonprofit corporation. Within that corporation, the rules and bylaws and all of those kind of good things to meet the state requirements. And so we can officially become members of this organization called Life Ministries of LaBelle Incorporated. However, this is also a spiritual body of believers. And so as we show dedication and faithfulness towards this house, we want you to enjoy all of the benefits of a group of people that are identify themselves as servants of the living God. And so this group of people have spent some time with us, walk with us for at least 6 months is what we like for you to walk with us before making a final official commitment that they want the vision of the house and they want to work together with us towards it. So these people here have agreed to become members, official members, with all the rights and privileges of that position. And they are going to be your brother, your sister, that you are going to be hand in hand growing together. And hopefully that's what we intend, whether you become a member or not. We want you to grow and be everything Christ decided for you to be. And so I want you to recognize that these people have watched all of us, have seen what the Lord is doing here, and they want to join that endeavor. And so they're going to be working from this moment on. So I want you to embrace them in your hearts, realize who they are. Tatiana, Creed, Jennifer, Scott, Jose, Corey, Jonathan. They're your brother, your sister, and we are going to work together to become everything that Christ wants us to become. So we as elders, we want to make a recognition before you so that you know that they are shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand, working together for what the Lord has for this ministry. You want to add anything?
We understand that when we get to heaven, the Lord is not going to be calling, okay, Life Ministry Church here, and, you know, the members and all that. But the Bible does tell us to obey the laws of the land. Amen? And so it is so good. If anyone in the house, we don't promote it that much, right? Because we understand that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord and eternity and all that. We're together. But if anyone will desire, just, you know, talk to one of the elders or to Pastor George, it's open to anyone that will have the desire to do so.
Get behind them and pray for them and invite them to officially join this group of people. Father, we just thank you for these precious children of yours, Father, that have decided to join where you have called them at this time and join this ministry that you have called. And Father, we pray that they will have the gifts and talents and abilities that you desire to be incorporated onto this ministry. And Father, that this ministry would have the gifts, talents, and abilities to impart unto them all the things that you want them to receive and grow thereby so that they would become the saints that you want them to become. Father, may we be joined together in one heart, one vision, one purpose. Father, may we grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Lord, that may we work together, Father, to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we pray that you grow them, that you make us all one. And, Father, that we would see, Father, that you are good and that your purposes are always good for us in every situation. So, Father, strengthen them, gift them, provide all the things that are needed. And, Father, may we join together to see your kingdom be established. Father, we bless them and their families in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your commitment. Woo-hoo. Thank you. All right, today's a very special day. A lot of reminiscing. Chuck and Jill, we're so glad you're here with us. And Larry at this time, and Milo and Rosa. Now, let me speak a little bit about Milo and Rosa. I used to work for the government back in the 80s, and I think late 80s or early 90s, 88. They came to LaBelle, and they were raw. I mean, they were very young, yes. That is the right word to use. They came, they joined us at work. We immediately bonded as brothers and sisters. We became a knit company. They were believers, and so were we. We started a ministry together, singing and praising God, evangelizing. We did a lot of crazy things and a lot of good things for the Lord. We tried starting Spanish churches, and we did a lot of Spanish ministry. Well, we did all kind of ministry all over the place. And then they were led to move to West Palm Beach, and they started us, continued the ministry out there. God called them in a position of pastoring Spanish church, help the ministry there. They put the hands to the plow along with their children. Then God continued growing them because their heart was for God and the things that God was doing through them. God called them to a higher ministry, not just pastoring, but ministry prophetically, traveling all over the world, ministering, doing special commissions of the Lord to declare his word in different places and to different people. He's traveled a lot. They have traveled a lot. They have always kept a heart. They were elders in this house. They left. They abandoned us. No. One of the things about this house, once you become an elder, you're always an elder. So they have been elders since. They have not been disqualified. They have stayed faithful to the call of God. And so we haven't had them in a while. So we invited them to come minister to our praise and worship team and the dance team, because they have an awesome psalmist ministry. And so the Lord has been doing all kind of expanding in their hearts. Their knowledge is great. Their witness is impeccable. Their testimony. And so we'd like to have them both to minister today. We may go a little longer than usual, if you would bear with us, because I know he is going to bring the word of the Lord. They are. And so that's worth waiting couple of minutes. That lunch is going to be there anyway, so don't rush. So Milo and Rosa, feel welcome.
God bless you. Now I can hear. Good morning, Life Ministry. It is a pleasure. It is an honor to be here. I cannot be just seeing Leda and what she said. It spoke to my heart. It was 18 years that we left here, and it's 17 years that we lived here. So when we came, yeah, we were very young, very young. I had just, like the year before, accepted the Lord and been baptized in the river. So I was green. And it's amazing. It's amazing how our Lord doesn't change. Aren't you happy about that? God is the same yesterday, today, and it will be tomorrow. It is so awesome. And the Lord did many things in us while we were here. I'm so happy that Jill and Chuck are here. I mean, I saw them and I'm like, wow, this is a family reunion. And, you know, see the Lord. Whoever plays chess or plays dominoes, for that matter, like last night, you know, pieces are put there for you. And that's what I believe this church, the Lord did through this church to us. It prepared us. It gave me a foundation to learn and be closer. And you know what? That foundation that was taught to me years ago is the same one today. It's the same one. You could really put the word to work. It doesn't matter. It is the same. And here we had three boys, Joshua, Jonathan, and Jason, and the ones that are oldies here, remember them? They used to run around. They used to crawl underneath the chairs while we were doing worship. And I would look at them. I'm like, Diane, get that little one straight. I'll go down there. You know. So we grew on that area, in the spiritual area, in the physical area, and being united in what the Lord was doing and loving each other. And that's what a church does. That's what the body of Christ does. And that's what we tend to forget. Joshua, Jonathan, and Jason. Joshua and Jonathan live around the Orlando area, and they're grown, love the Lord. And Jason lives in the Panhandle in Panama City, works at the Navy. And they love the Lord. And I thank the Lord for their foundation here. Asia, we had the privilege that Asia was their fourth grade teacher for the first two. Jason really missed you. And he said, man, I missed the DSE in my fourth grade. I saw Georgie, Leda, David, and Daniel grow up. And oh my God, they were the heroes of my kids. They were the role models. If Daniel does that, we gotta do that. Sometimes we had the hand-me-downs from Daniel, and they will grow through those bags. Oh, it's Daniel. I want that. So, you know, that's just stuff you have. And later I was talking about memories. And, oh, my God, it impacts you. One thing that I learned here, and with this I'm going to close and give it to Malo that's bringing the word today, is that foundation, something I learned here. You remember those that are oldies, the song, We Are the Joshua Generation. You remember that? Yeah. Okay. Lesson from today. Joshua 1. Joshua 1 is where Moses dies, right? And the Lord gives him a commitment, right? And he tells Joshua, don't be afraid, you know? But I have promised my servant Moses. Last night, yesterday, those that got a word, that's a promise that the Lord has given you. Screen it to the word. Screen it to the word. And if it's yours, take it. He has promised you. The word is there. He has promised you. But it's not only a promise. The second thing he tells him and verse 7 in that Joshua first chapter, it tells him, obey my law. Obey the law that I was given to Moses. Obey my law. Don't obey some of them. Obey all my law. And then he says, study it. Study my word. Study my word. Know it all. Last night, Milo was saying, yesterday, Milo was saying, you know, you cannot give what you do not have. If you have that word in you, you will be able to give it to others. So remember, be encouraged and be of valor. Obey. Learn his word and all his word, and just claim his promises for you. Okay, God bless you. We love you a whole lot. And here's my handsome husband.
So in conclusion, we can spend the whole afternoon just thinking and going back to the things that happened and the wonderful thing that the Lord did in our lives and in the lives of this church. This church has been a beacon of light, not only to the whole state of Florida, but many other countries and many other places. I'm a testimony of that, and many of you are also in the same situation. We could do a couple of things today. I can bring the Word of God, or I can grab a guitar, and we can just sing for the rest of the afternoon. What about that? All right, well, let's go to the Word, and today what I'm going to do is touch on a subject that has been in my heart, because it was a prophetic word given to me and in private, and then I pray about it, I seek the Lord on it, and then I get revelation on it, and after I get the prophetic word given to me, then I go to the Word, and I say, what did the Word has to say about it? And if the Bible doesn't have much to say about that prophetic word, it's probably that I had pizza the night before, and then it really just didn't sit well with me, and that's why I started having visions of things like that. One thing about the prophetic word, it has to be about the word. It cannot be more than the word. It cannot be more than what the foundation of the Bible. Any prophetic word that steers you away, any prophetic word that is more about you than God, I would question it. Every prophetic word has to be about bringing you closer to God and to showing God bigger than you, more than you, and the only answer for you. Any word that comes to you, any preaching, anything, whether it's prophetic, whether it's a gift of the Spirit, whatever comes out of a pulpit, whatever comes out of a television show, whatever you watch, if it doesn't get you closer to God, run away from it. That's it. It's as simple as that. Run away from it. But one subject and one area of the today's that is happening, one thing about this prophetic ministries is that when you walk in this anointing, one of the things that the church miss are the times. Sometimes we know what to do, we just don't know when to do it. Sometimes we don't know what to do, we don't know how to do it, we just don't know when to do it. Well, we always miss the mark. We're either too soon or too late, all right? But typically, the church today is always too late. It's always a little behind God's schedule sometimes. When it comes to the prophetic, we're a little too soon. Sometimes we speak things and the church is not ready for them. And because the church is not ready for them, they dismiss. And then when they see it happen, they don't even remember God spoke about it. God said something about it. And they just oblivious about what God is trying to do. I don't want to overwhelmed today with a lot of information, but I do want to touch this subject. It's very important to today's what's happening, understanding the times. You can understand the times. You can explain the times. You can explain politics. You can explain religions. You can explain everything that's happening right now. And that's wonderful. You can have a professional opinion. You can have a psychological opinion. You can have a political opinion. You can have all kinds of opinion. You can have a tremendous background historically and tell us where we are and why we are where we are today, where our nation is going, where the world is going, world governments, all kinds of stuff. You can have all kinds of explanation and knowledge about that. The question is, what are we supposed to do today, now? What is the church supposed to do? What is my action? Where am I? Sometimes I see people so eloquently explain the situation that we are, and they're so scared about it. And then when they're done with it, they leave you with all that information, and you don't know what to do with it. And I find a church scared of the times. I'm finding a church that is afraid of the time. And this is our time. We were called for such a time as this. And I'm finding a church is also like a bunch of chickens. And rather than being eagles, I'm finding just chicken coops all over the place. But the Lord says we should rise like eagles, all right? And have a vision. The eagle can see so far away. They can see prey. They can see problems miles before it gets to you, and they can find shelter, they can do things, they can take care of their children, they can do a lot of things. And sometimes we want the prophetic word to tell me what's going to happen to the market so I can put my money where it's safe. Why don't you worry about what's going to happen to my soul, that you can put it in the right place first? So sometimes we get so confused with what's happening in the times. And I want to touch on that subject today. And I was asking the Lord, how can I explain it? How can you say? Because there are thousand ways that I can say what's going on and what God wants us to do, where we are. How do we take it? How do we take advantage of this time and really become the church that is today's church? The church that can say, for such a time, God called me. I have not only the privilege, humble to say that I am in this time and I am part of the church of this time. This is an amazing time. So I'm here to encourage you to enjoy the knowledge that even though things are difficult out that door, God called you to be a light outside of that door. And because of that, it's a moment of joy. It's a moment of very seldom you see people reading the book of Revelation as a book of good news. But when you read the book of Revelations in the sense of the time that it was written, it was a book of good news. This is what's happening. These are the symbols of what was happening at that time. But then it says, come, Lord Jesus. The spirit of the prophecy is the Lord Jesus Christ for that book. And it's so impacting. And today's world, Christianity has encountered many walls. And one of the ways that God put in my heart to try to talk about how we can take this situation is to go back to Jericho. So every time I mention Jericho or any preacher talks about Jericho, what comes to your mind? Somebody can tell me. If I say Jericho, what comes to your mind? But you're weird. Walls. You know, when you say Jericho, what comes to your mind? Walls. There are big walls. There's something that separates me from that. That is bad, and I need to go through it, but there is what? Say it. A wall. I've come here to tell you that the walls are not the problem. Every time we speak about Jericho, it's all about destroying walls, about taking those breakdowns, about going around seven times and blowing trumpets and doing all kinds of stuff. But that's not the problem. The problems are not the walls. And that's today's title. The walls are not the problem. Today's Christianity, and I will do my best to read in that way we can expedite time. All right? Because every time I step out of this little area here, you know, things could happen. So pray that I stay behind the pulpit. So we encounter many walls. But those walls are not the problem. Many stumbling blocks are being now built. And the whole idea of doing this is to stop truth from happening. The whole idea. So when you see these things that are happening in the world, I'm going to say something today. Do not whatsoever take it personal. Do not. What are they doing? The world is trying to remove truth from everywhere truth exists. The reason it's happening because truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. His name is our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. He is truth. Have you noticed that no matter if you say something that is true, if it has the name of Jesus in it, nobody likes it? Could you say it without Jesus? Could you just put God in it? Listen, they prefer the word God on a document, on something, but not Jesus. If you're going to pray, would you pray in the name of God and do not whatsoever pray in the name of Jesus? That's what Jesus says, that he was given a name that is above all names. And because he's above all names, the system hates that name. And they will not want the name of Jesus. They rather have the name God. You know why? Because they have some things that are called God. They make their own God. The return of the gods, according to Jonathan Cahn. Okay, you can read all kinds of stuff about it. But the name that really bothers today's society is Jesus. Because Jesus is the truth. What are they doing? How do they build the walls? The walls are being built by stop, shut down, all right? Whoever speaks truth. And they persecute those. They bring persecution. Or, if they cannot persecute you, then I will discredit you. Whatever I can do to do that. The second aspect that they do to build walls is that they remove already spoken truth. If there's anything already spoken that is truth, I need to take it out of the system. The other way that they're building the walls is enacting laws. Making laws to protect whatever new concept replace truth. They don't want to leave the space empty, so they will replace it with something else, and they will build laws, they create laws around those lies, around their immorality, and that way they can also protect the first two. Those are today's Jericho walls. And it's interesting that we cannot fight that, because that's not the problem. They can have laws. They can remove truth from the system. They can discredit you. They can do whatever they want against the Christians. Sadly to say, in many countries, they already have the right to do it. Their law is already protecting people for persecuting Christians. All right? And yet, the fastest growing Christianity or people converting to Jesus Christ are in those countries. You go to Iran, and in Iran, the church is flourishing. And yet, if you are a Christian in Iran, your neighbor has the permission to kill you. If you live in Iran and you become a Christian, your neighbor doesn't need to call the police. He's already been given the permission that if your neighbor converts to Christianity, shoot them. Get rid of them. Who in the right mind would desire to become a Christian in Iran? What does it take? What does it take for a human being that has a mind, that has reasoning, that has something that makes sense, come up with a concept, it's a good idea to be a Christian in Iran, when everybody's being given the permission to kill you? You know what it takes? It takes something that we sometimes take for granted. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin. I can tell you about Christ all day long until I'm blue and purple. But it's not until the Holy Spirit comes to you and show you straight in your heart, in your faith, in your face, you are a sinner. You have no way out but me. The seed has been planted in so many people in Iran. And the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction. And even though it doesn't make sense to be a Christian, they want to be a Christian. And we think we got it because we are the church of God. We think, oh, because I have an anointing, because I can prophesy, I can destroy walls, I can do this. I'm telling you, China has one of the fastest growing Christian churches right now. I'm telling you, look at that, our government do whatever they want to do. There's nothing that can stop the work of God in the hearts of men and women that are willing to accept Jesus Christ. The walls are not the problem. See, the problem is the anathema that is inside the walls. And it's not even a problem for them. They're already in it. They're already involved in it. They're part of it. They're actually protecting it. They're in it. You know, it is so amazing how we miss the mark sometimes. So those laws and regulations that are being created right now, especially in our nation, by the way, our nation is about 5 to 10 years behind other countries on these laws. All right? Christians here are so alarmed. Yeah, you should go to Honduras sometimes. Okay? You should go to Nicaragua. You know, have any of you talked to a Venezuelan person lately? They have a democratic constitution in Venezuela, and yet they have a dictatorship right now. Did it serve the constitution for anything? It's there as a whatever, it's a decoration. They don't live by it. They have a dictatorship. It could happen in any country. It could happen in any, it could happen here. Is that concerning? Yeah, it is concerning. But when I live for my Lord Jesus Christ, and he put me in such a time as this, I either believe or I don't. And if I believe, I know he will be with me all the time, every day, until the end. And if we don't find joy in that, you're not ready for what's coming. If you cannot find joy in the fact that he said, I will be with you, you're going to have a hard time coping with what's to come. And that makes the difference between chicken coops Christianity or eagles Christianity. For lack of better explanation, I'm sorry. Maybe because I've been around Jorge too much. I don't know. So why is the whole idea of truth being the problem? Why this idea of removing truth? And I'm going to give you one example. You go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says like this. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become on the earth, that every inclination of their thought, their mind, every inclination of what they think about, all right, of the human heart was only evil all the time. And that's what we get into. The moment you start removing truth from the system, from education, you remove truth, you remove Jesus from everywhere, what's going to fill in? Whatever other concept man can come up. It could sound wonderful. It may even sound better than Christianity, to tell you the truth. You will hear things and say, you know what? That's pretty neat. It's this thing about loving everybody and you know, this freedom thing. It sounds amazing. They will say things that will sound pretty nice, all right? But the moment Jesus is not part of the system, Jesus is removed from everything, then every thought that comes in, and that's knowledge, that's the aspect of knowledge. Every thought in their heart, in their mind, is an inclination of it. It implies knowledge. So one of the reasons that today's Christianity does not understand the times and the precision of the spiritual warfare is because we do not understand the true enemy and the opinion of God in regards of this time today. So here is our battle. What do we fight? Because you want to talk about spiritual warfare. As a prophet, I'm going to tell you, I see a lot of warfare. But I have seen so much warfare in the wrong places. There were times we were called to go places and do things. And we did it and we obeyed the Lord and God did what he wanted to do. But there are times that we need to hear from our commander, what is it that we're supposed to do today? You want to know what is supposed to be happening today? Where is this? Is your warfare. If the world wants wickedness and immorality, then your battle is to want the way of the Lord. That's it. If that's what they want, that's fine. What do you want? What do you want for you and for your children? Do you want to be accepted by today's society? Or do you want to walk in the way of the Lord? That's a battle. I cannot go and somebody that chooses to be and walk in this immorality and go and rebuke them, they're not my battle. I'm not taking this personal. They're walking in the best they can do. You know why? Because there's no truth where they are. What can I do? Go rebuke them and hate them? I cannot. The way of the Lord is to love. The way of the Lord is to open your arms and to have compassion. And we don't know how to have compassion because we're fighting the wrong thing and because we're not fighting for our position with God. If the world wants wickedness, then I should want the way of the Lord. If the world wants darkness and lies, then my battle is not against them. My battle is to want truth. That in spite of what they're teaching, I want to hear truth. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to be in church. I want to hear teachings all the time. I want to learn about the Holy Spirit. I want to learn about God. I want to learn about Jesus. I want to learn the truth. If they want to learn something else, that's fine. But I need to make a decision who I want. When you go to Joshua, when you go to Jericho, what happened to Joshua? Everything started right there. But at the end of his life, what did he say? This is all that God has done for the people of Israel from the beginning. He told the whole story. When at the end, he said, now you choose who you're going to serve. But my house and I, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So world, I tell you today, United States, I tell you today, choose who you're going to serve. But I already made up my mind. I want truth. And I'm not going to hate you for what you chose. I'm not going to come against you and battle you for your choosing of your lifestyle. I need to make my decision first. The church is not ready for battle because the church has not made a choice yet. The church is trying to accommodate themselves to the situation. And God did not call you to accommodate. God called you to make a choice. And the third is, if the world wants death, then my battle is to want life. And Jesus is life. Jesus is eternity. I can live all this life rich or poor. I can live all this life very good man or bad person. I can live this life, but if any of us live a good life, a bad life, a crazy life, or not such a crazy life, whatever life you live, and there's no Jesus in there, there's no eternity in there. Jesus is our eternity. He is our life. I don't think the church understands why we don't know how to battle in the spirit, because we're trying to battle what we see when we're supposed to battle where we are, where we stand. Question ourselves, where are you? In the truth, in the life, and the way. Where are you? Do you have those three answers for yourself? If you don't have it for yourself, you can't even give it to your children. You don't have it for your children, you can't even teach it to the world. You try to evangelize, it's going to backfire on you. These times are not 300 years ago. This is not 10 years ago. In fact, this is not 5 years ago. If you don't have it right, you go and evangelize, it's going to backfire straight in your face. It's no longer, here's the truth. It's no longer that kind of evangelism. The evangelism of today is, it's okay, I love you anyways. And they don't understand that. I hate you because you speak Jesus, and yet you say that you love me. It'll confuse them. Because we truly need to love them. You can say to everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you, because the church told me to tell you that I love you. But if you don't truly love the world the way God loves them, then you're not willing to give your life the way God gave his life. We are jointly crucified with the Lord. That's what the apostle said. But we don't understand that word, because we can say the words, but we don't mean it. When you truly love this world, even though they are thick in the middle of sin, and realize that you were right in the same place they are, and you're no different because you don't deserve salvation. And yet, he came and gave his blood for you and me. I cannot battle their thinking. I cannot battle their choices. I cannot battle their decision. And I cannot battle their hate for me. I can only choose God. And when I choose God, I choose to love the way God loves. How do you connect this? And how does that interpret into Romans? Where is happening? Let me tell you what's happening to the world. When you hear what's happening to the world and you connect the walls of Jericho the anathema, which is the problem, not the walls. Where is it? Do we find that in the New Testament? Is it there? And I know a lot of churches are afraid to speak about Romans chapter 1. It's probably one of the most controversial verses, portions of the Bible today. Many churches are sticking Romans chapter 1 in the face of the wicked people and people that choose not to follow God. Stick it in their face and tell them you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and blah, blah, blah. And they're using Romans chapter 1 to judge, to attack. But it was not written for them. Romans chapter 1 was written for you and me. And when I read it for me, then I understand what's happening to the world. And all of a sudden, I pray different. I speak different. I love different. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8, says the following. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Notice, reveal means it's always been there, but it doesn't take place. You cannot see it until heaven reveals it. When we speak about the wrath of God, everybody's thinking about an earthquake. Everybody's thinking about a hurricane. Everybody's thinking about the earth opening up and swallowing people and something very dramatic happening. Well, the wrath of God, that happened to that town because they're sinners. That happened to this place because they're sinners. What about the Christians in Fort Myers? Nobody think about them? A hurricane went through just the other day and destroyed Christians' houses and non-Christian houses. The sun comes out for the righteous and the unrighteous, and the rain will come to the good and the bad. The wrath of God is revealed differently. It says here, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. What is happening? What are they suppressing? The truth. So what's happening today when they suppress truth, when they don't want you to speak Jesus, and when they don't want you to say the name of Jesus, they don't want nobody to hear about Jesus, they don't want any children to hear about Jesus, they don't want nobody to hear about truth, what are they doing if it's not suppressing truth? But it says here, and I believe I was reading out the international version, the New International Version, it says, who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what they... since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You keep reading. When you get to verse 24, it's a very interesting how the wrath of God is revealed. Therefore. So what does it mean when you have a therefore in the Bible? It means stop reading. Go back and read the few verses before that one. When he says therefore, that means oh, therefore what? Okay, because they suppress the truth. Because they don't want truth. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires. Did you know that the wrath of God is when people are given unto their own sin? And we see what's happening in our nation. We see the immoralities happening in our nation. And we're trying to battle the immorality. If we don't realize that is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is because you don't want truth, I'm going to throw you into your own desire. That's what you want? That's what you're going to have. You want immorality? Here, have as much as you want. What was removed when God does that? The wrath of God is when people cannot have the ability to sense the Holy Spirit telling them about their sin. Wow. We think the wrath of God is something else. The worst that can happen to a human is that the Holy Spirit says, I am no longer trying to convince you of your sin. I'm giving you to your own immorality. The worst that could happen to a human is that. In 2017, I received a prophetic word from the Lord. It shook my very deep core. I was afraid to say this word, and I was really static, and it took me a few days to actually say it. The Lord says, I want you to go back to Isaiah and prophesy the words of Isaiah. And I didn't know. Isaiah did a lot of prophecies. Which one, Lord? I go to chapter 6. And chapter 6 says, okay, this is the time of the king Uriah, or whichever way you pronounce it. This king did the right things before the Lord. But this king did not teach the people about the ways of God. He let the people of Israel do whatever they wanted. So do whatever you want. So this king says, I will serve God in my palace, in my home, but you do whatever you want. All right? The Lord says, that's where the pastors and the leaders of today's church are. They are afraid to speak truth from the pulpit. So they will live a life in their own home of righteousness, but are afraid to speak it to their own churches. Because they're afraid to lose membership or afraid to have their doors closed. That was King Uriah. His father was the king who went to the temple and profaned the temple, and then he died of leprosy. So King Uriah never went to the temple. He was afraid to go there. He said, I'm not going to go there. My father did that, and this happened to him. So I will be living a righteous life for God here in my house. I don't teach the people how to do the living for the God. I'm not going to ask him to destroy their gods and their altars. The Bible says that he was righteous before the Lord, but he did not teach the people how to be righteous before the Lord. And the Lord was telling me, that's what's happening to my leadership today, 2017. And then the Lord says, now keep reading. So I keep reading. God called Isaiah. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. How many of you have done the same? Here I am. I'm calling you. Jill, I'm calling you. Lord, I hear your voice. Here I am, like Samuel. If you hear the voice of God, just say, here I am, Lord. I'll tell you, if you hear the voice of God, stop. Make sure you mean it. Because Isaiah had no clue what he did. He said, here I am. I go. Who shall I send? I said, well, I'll go. I can go. And then he said, okay, this is what I want you to say. And that's when he became bitter, because it happened to me so many times. This is what the prophetic word was spoken to Isaiah. And God gave me this in 2017. Little did I know, 2023, I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing it happen. He said, prophesy that their eyes will be shut, that their ears will be covered, so they don't hear, they don't see, and that way don't believe, because I decided not to forgive. You know what that means? In today's new covenant, it means Holy Spirit, stop working on you. That's what it means. Close your eyes, close your ears. You don't hear nothing. You see no truth. You hear no truth. And when you see no truth and you hear no truth, that means you have no conviction. If you have no conviction, you don't have Holy Spirit talking to you. That means a prophetic word of Isaiah happened. The Lord says, it's coming. And I was afraid to say that, because I don't want to say that. I believe in mercy. I don't want to say shut their eyes and close their ears so they don't believe. No, I want everybody to believe. The Bible says that he wants everybody to believe. So what the Lord was telling me is that the Holy Spirit wants to talk to them, but they don't want to hear anymore. And then Romans 8 happened. What is Romans 8? Therefore, because they don't want truth, the wrath of God means you want wickedness, have as much as you want. And that's the wrath of God. How do I take that? What am I supposed to do with it? What do I do? I'm going to tell you one thing that God put in my heart. And I truly hold it onto this. For my family members, for people that I love, that shut down the door to the truth. And they don't want truth. But I have one prayer. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man, the righteous woman, avails much. I know I found myself praying for my salvation of my cousin. Oh, Lord, save my cousin, save my cousin. And I found myself praying the wrong way. The Lord told me, I want to save him. I already gave my life for him. But you're asking for the wrong thing. By the way, God doesn't listen to everybody when it comes to righteousness. You got to be truly a righteous person. So what do I pray for? I say, Holy Spirit, have mercy. Would you please, Holy Spirit, continue to bring conviction to my cousin? God, the salvation, God will never grab you by the head or force you into salvation. That will not happen to nobody. All right? So don't pray, save this person, Lord. Send that person to preach to him. Could you say, could you please, that Brother Milo, don't preach this Sunday, but so that this person can actually hear another word or something like that? Could Pastor Jorge preach rather than Asia? How would you pray that way? You know, because I'm bringing my cousin, I'm bringing my mother, and I don't want her to be shocked by a prophetic word because she's never seen prophetic words. You know, we pray that way. We think that way. But God wants you to pray this way. For this society, if you really love them, pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to touch their heart, to bring conviction. They can stay in their sin. They can stay where they are. That is fine. As long as the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction, there is hope. And if they wake up, there's no gates of hell that can steal that soul. That soul is going straight to heaven because that person is going to wake up. That person is going to listen to the Holy Spirit no matter how deep in sin you are, because you were there, I was there, we were all there, and here we are. And here we are. So Lord is changing our prayer. The Lord is changing our prophetic word. The Lord is changing our battle. The battle today is not on the street. It's you and your soul. Are you in the way? Are you in the truth? Are you in the life? So how does the event in Jericho and this Joshua idea of destroying walls compare to the chapter 1 of Romans? And how can we proceed? Because I need to be practical. If the church is not practical, we're always going to be this allegoric way, prophetic. Oh, I saw a tree standing up with the roots shooting out. And what does it mean? What am I supposed to do with that? You know, I saw this and I saw that. Blah, blah, blah. Blow the trumpet. You know. Because God speaks that way. Listen. But the prophets have forgotten that we need to be practical. That when we leave the church, we'll probably leave more confused people. So yes, I have a vision of trees and things. It drives me nuts. It's all the time, Asia. I don't know if it happens to you, but it's all the time. I'm seeing things. God is always revealing things to me, but I always ask God, what exactly you want me to say? Just give me the words. Give me the word. What is it that you want me to say? What is it that you want me not to say? So here it is. I'm going to walk you through these few points. And by the way, my introductions are very long and my preachings are very short. Done with the introduction. We're almost done. Are you being blessed? Are you receiving revelation from the Lord? Is it coming from the Bible? Because it matters. You have to read it. You have to find it in the Bible. If you don't find it in the Bible, don't take it. Judge it. Step on it. Shake it. Whatever is left, maybe it is the Bible. If it doesn't come from the Word, so it doesn't matter where your family is. It doesn't matter where everybody is. It doesn't matter. Don't battle them. They're not the problem. The walls are not the problem. The laws of this nation are not the problem. The problem is what's inside the laws, the things that they're protecting. That's the anathema. How does it compare to Romans? God says, I want it that way because that's what they want. They don't want truth and have it. Go and build your walls. Do your thing. I got people that can walk around 7 times and destroy any walls. So God doesn't have a problem with the walls. It's what's inside the walls. And I'm going to give you a revelation on that in a minute. And because this prophetic preaching today is going to turn into a specific for this church. So hold on and put your seatbelt. Here we go. How do I do this? How many of you have heard you need to walk in your calling? God called you to be a pastor. So stand up, be a man, and start pastoring people. God called you to be a prophet. So prophesy. Go ahead. Start walking in your calling. And it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. In Spanish, in Puerto Rico, people say, if God called you to be a carpenter from the heaven, the nails will fall. Because you're called to be a carpenter, and God will throw nails from heaven at you. If God called you to be a prophet, don't be a prophet. Don't worry about it. Like it or not, you will prophesy. God called you to be a pastor, then you will pastor people. I don't think the calling is the thing. See, what happened to Joshua is, God told Joshua in chapter 1, before the destroying of the walls, this. Okay? Because we tend to walk on callings. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. What happened before the chapter 5? Joshua, I want you to go and take over after Moses. Moses is gone, all right? So now you're in charge. I'm giving you, what, a few million people to lead? It's just a million people. A lot of people. Half of them will stay behind, and the other half, you take it through, open the, you know, the river, and go. And I want you to take down Jericho. Big walls. Big deal walls. You should see the bricks. Amazing. And yet, he tells him, this is what you want to do. You would think, walk on your calling. Walk on your leadership calling. He says, no. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In such times of difficulties come, when the difficulty come, when the problem come, the persecution come, it's not my calling of a prophet that holds me up. You know what keeps me going? The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit tells me, I will be with you all the days. So what did he tell Joshua? I'm only asking you one thing. We don't walk anymore the way we used to walk. God called prophets, there will be prophets. God called apostles, there will be apostles. God called you to be pastor, you will be a pastor. Whatever tools you need, he will provide. Whatever education you need, you will have it. But if you do not know how to walk in the promise of God, you don't have what it takes to survive what's coming. You will cry out. You're calling all the way through. And it will hurt. Being a pastor will hurt. Being a prophet will hurt. Being whatever God called, being a musician, a worshiper, it's going to hurt. It's going to tell them, voice of experience. Here I am. I can speak about it. It wasn't until I learned to walk by the promise of God that I no longer worry about releasing prophetic words. It became unimportant to me. It became that if I don't trust that God is with me, doesn't matter how good I could prophesy. If I don't see that, if I don't understand that his presence is in me, then in difficult times, I become more of a problem than a solution. And it gives me peace that whenever God wants me to do something, he sent me to Mexico during the Obama administration. The worst time you could go to Mexico. There were more people killed at the border of Mexico than there were killed in Kabul, in Afghanistan, in any other part of the world. The worst, most dangerous part of the world. Americans were being kidnapped all the time. And the Lord says, we'll go to Mexico, and I want you to prophesy. And when you get there, I give you the prophetic word. So here I'm flying over to Mexico, met with Angel, by El hermano de Benito. We cross the border. The moment we cross the border, they look at my passport. They stamp the thing. I cross over. The God, Holy Spirit, speaking over me. You will meet a lot of pastors. Then I turn around and ask Brother Angel, what are we doing? He said, well, you know what? The pastor knew that you were coming, and I was coming, so I called a few pastors, and I think we got about 26 pastors coming over for a conference. It just happened. When I went over to Mexico and I prophesied, and I'm going off a little bit, and I don't want to do that, but I think God's speaking to somebody here. 26 pastors, and the Lord released a prophetic word. What did he say? You are part of the problem. That what's happening in Mexico, it's not the government. It's you, the pastors. Because the cartel comes to you and asks for your money in order to protect you. And you know that I'm your protector. So what do the pastors do? They will give the offering to the cartel in order for the cartel not to do anything against their churches. Then the men of the churches will go to the United States because they don't have money, and they come here, they cross the border and come work here. Their wives and daughters stay over there, and the pastors abused their daughters and their wives. And I don't want to speak words like that. Because as a prophet, it hurts to look at a man in his face and tell him, this is what you're doing. So I spoke the word looking down at the ground, and I'm saying the words, these pastors crumble, and these 26 people drop in the ground. The Holy Spirit took over them. They repented, and they stayed 3 days fasting and praying in that place. And within 6 months, things changed in Mexico. Don't be afraid of doing what God called you to be. Walking by the calling is not as difficult. It is walking in the promise of God. The second is our victory and our success is not against walls. Our victory is found in what the Lord asks you to do. The walls could stay up, but if God says walk around 7 times, that's what I'm doing. Whether the walls crumble or not. It's just about being obedient. It's about being, that's it. It's about being obedient. So what did God tell Joshua? Chapter 1, verse 7. Just a couple of verses after, he tells him, I will be with you. You walk in my promise. I promise you, you're not going to be alone. So keep moving. You're going to be fine. But then he says this, verse 7, be strong, be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Actually, the Spanish version is very specific. And the Latin version is even more specific. The Latin version says, be courageous and be strong and be courageous to obey my law. People say, be strong against the enemy. Be courageous or against the enemy. No, the enemy is not the problem. The walls is not the problem. You need to be courageous and you need to be strong to follow the law of the Lord. That's what the strength is for. That's what the courageous is for. It's easy right now to be, very Christianity, whatever is in you, Christianese spirit in you, and go see you wicked people, I'm holy people, and do that and throw the line. It's easy to do that. You know what's difficult? When God says, stop watching that show, stop doing that thing, stop doing this. How about going to church more often? Now that, are you being courageous about that? Are you being stepping up on that one? Are you throwing a line on that one? See, that's the difficult thing. What does he tell Joshua? Be strong, be courageous, be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left so you'll be successful whatever you go. Our success is not in destroying walls. Our success is being obedient and living a life of righteousness before the law, before the Lord. Amen? So my success is not in miracles and provisions. It's not in revival. Our success, our victory, it's in obedience. That will bring miracles. That will bring revival. But that's not the success. That is a sign. That is a symptom of success. Success is when God says, I'm pleased with you. Well done, my faithful servant. That will change anybody's life. What did Matthew say? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Therefore, go, make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them what? To obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, here's the promise, not the calling. I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's here with us. That's our Lord. Number 3. What sets us apart then? Why? So what's going to make me different? Other than I will live in righteousness, that I'll be in light, that I'll be in life, and the world is not. See, what sets us apart, number 3, is not the lack of sin, is the presence of truth. See, the world doesn't want truth. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit is no longer there. But because I walk in truth, every time I do something wrong, the Holy Spirit slaps me a little bit on the left or sometimes on the right, and sometimes uses my wife. I wish the Holy Spirit would come to me straight. Could you not send my wife anymore? You talk to me straight, please. I mean, husband, have you had that happen to you? The Holy Spirit decided to use your wife to talk to you and to confront you in your sin or whatever it is that you're doing. So I wish you talked to me directly. I prophesied to 17 people the other day, and you couldn't tell me directly. You sent my wife to slap me in the face. But that's the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. That's what makes you different. You walk in truth. You have the truth. You have the Spirit. No matter how deep on whatever you are, if you're having conviction, the Holy Spirit is working in you. You did not close your door. You did not close your heart to truth. You're still open to the Lord. You still have hope, and you're walking in the direction of salvation. Keep moving. Amen. Keep moving. God's there. So the wrath of God against his sinful humanity is being misunderstood. It's the lack of truth that releases and stop the work of the Spirit. I'm going to conclude with this. And I will not write my own conclusion. I have decided to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 29. And I will read this and let the Bible wrap this up. And let you, based on this reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 29, find yourself in it. Find yourself where you are. What does it say in verse 20? Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. Well, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. Foolishness to this world. Until today, also a stumbling block for the Jews. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Think about it. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I believe God has spoken. I believe we have to aim our guns and our weapons down a little bit. Go inward and be ready for what God's going to do. I believe the battle is changing. I believe God is doing a strategic warfare that starts inside the church. A warfare of love. I don't see prophetic words spoken and things falling as much as the love of God being expressed in ways that it's going to confuse the world. And it's going to change the prayer of righteous men and women in order to allow the Holy Spirit to have mercy on those that shut their eyes and their ears to the truth. For that to happen, there has to be righteous men and righteous women. So God is calling you today. Are you ready to be righteous before the Lord? That's the calling. You will choose today. Are you really ready to change your life in honor to God? To live a personal life, to not look for somebody to fix you. Do not look for somebody to, counsel me and fix this and make me better. Pastor me. to heaven. Pastor me all the way to heaven, Pastor. No, are you willing to say, I am no longer going to do what God doesn't like. I know what he doesn't like. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be a righteous man. I'm going to be a righteous woman. And that way, when I pray for the people out there, the Holy Spirit will listen. And the prayer of a righteous man will avail much. So I don't know if you're ready, but I'm ready for the change. I'm ready for an impact that is going to go beyond what you have ever experienced. Now, here's a prophetic word for Life Ministries. Put on your seatbelt. Here we go. The walls still need to come down. The problem is not the wall. The problem is anathema. So here is a prophetic word. I want you to take this carefully. Pastors, listen. Judge it. After I said this, this is today's word for what God wants us to do today, to be righteous, so we can pray for a humanity and a society that doesn't want truth. That's the last harvest. And we are the ones who needs to do the harvest. And we cannot harvest if we're not righteous. Because the prayer of the righteous is the one that makes the breakthrough so they can listen to the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, the laws of this nation are going to be paused in the coming administration. God is going to put a pause button on the play button, the fast forward that the enemy is doing to destroy our nation. And I'm not talking politics. It doesn't matter the color or the politician. This is God. So whatever you believe in politics, take it aside. We're righteous people. We only have one God. We only serve one God. There's nobody wrong. We are all wrong. Only the righteous know the truth. But this is what's happening. Because they lift up walls, they lift up laws to protect what's inside, to protect their wickedness. That's fine. I'm not afraid of that. But God decided to put a stop and a pause to that in order to allow the church to walk inside the city of Jericho. When did the people of God were in trouble? Not when they were outside on the walls. Walking around 7 times. That was fine. Maybe a little hot, but they had water and they had trumpets. They went around. When was it that the people of God got contaminated with the anathema? Was it outside the walls? Where was it? It's inside the walls. You would think God would say, well, let's keep the walls in. Why don't we keep the people of God outside so they don't go in? Who's going to pray for them? Who's going to be the righteous who's going to lay hands and pray for them? And bring this harvest that we need to bring. The walls need to come down. But it'll come down for a time. But it's also the same time that the church will get contaminated. So listen to me, church. When he says, I'm going to sift, I'm going to separate, this is what's happening. So they don't have called a few churches, a few people to go around. When they went around the wall, everybody was to make silence. Only the priests could blow trumpets. Nobody could say, even the army that was ahead of them was quiet. And they were quiet all around the walls. Only the priests could blow the trumpet. Only in the last day, on the last go around on the wall, the people were allowed to shout in victory. But all of the time, only a few chosen people were blowing the trumpet. Life Ministries. God has called the church to start blowing the trumpet now. The going around the world starts today. God has called a few churches, and in their churches, then not everybody in those churches are going to be blowing trumpets, a few people. And those will receive prophetic words and revelation from the Holy Spirit. In the near future, you will pray for different locations. You will pray for places that God will tell you to go. You will tear down things that God will ask you to tear down because God called you to blow the trumpet. The rest of the people will quiet. The rest of the people will make silence. And they will do nothing but walk behind those that God had called. And the time is approaching to where everybody is going to be rejoicing in this nation. And all the Christians are going to be lifting flags and being so happy about what God did. And such time, beware. Because now you have been exposed to the anathema. And now, if you're not righteous, you are in danger. Understood? That's a very strong prophetic word. But those are good news. Those are good news. First, it's spoken in the Bible. Second, God is preparing you. And third, what a privilege. What a privilege it is to walk and love people that need to be loved and to bring a harvest and to honor God by saying simply a prayer, God, Holy Spirit, have mercy on them. Would you please, one more time, Holy Spirit, bring conviction to their hearts? And a flock of people are going to run into churches. And many will rejoice. And many will go crazy. And many will get confused. And confusing times are coming for the church. The moment the walls come down and the church raises victory, that's the moment harvest will happen. And shortly after that, confusion comes to the church. I know this is a very strong word, and I am sorry, church. But I have been shaken to the very core. What had happened to me has changed my life. The last 10 years have been very difficult 10 years for me. I wish I was just up there playing the guitar and just worshiping. It was so much easier. It was so much easier. But I am so glad to be home, to be in my home church, to see Larry and Diane and Jill, Chuck, look at you. You look so young. Today has been a privilege for me to be in my home church, to be here, and to speak this word here. You have no idea. You have no idea how profound it is in my heart. So thank you, George and Asia. Thank you, church. I don't see the need for prophetic personal prophecy right now. If you think you need a personal prophetic word, you talk to your pastor. They're very qualified to do so. But I believe that what I have just spoken over this microphone today is enough of a personal prophetic word for anybody in this place. If you are not willing to take this as personal, then definitely we need to pray for you a little bit more. But this is personal. God has spoken to you. And God has given us how to understand what's happening to the world. The wrath of God is already here. And we need to see it. And we need to have love and compassion. And if you're not righteous, you're not qualified. That's my summary. God bless you.
Good. Yeah. Well, if you're not troubled, we'll be here to pray for you. We want to bless the man of God, the woman of God that came and bless us with the word. So if you have enjoyed or squirmed about this message and you want to bless him back, they will take whatever offering you give them. The offering plate is ready. So we'll play and pray and close if nobody has need for prayer. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we seal these words. Father, refresh our minds. Lord, you have allowed us to be able to record this so we can listen over it, judge it, and Father, see where it applies to each one of us individually in the areas that you've touched us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you convict the world, but we ask that you first convict each one of us individually so that we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness and disobedience. Father, that we would become the people that follows and obeys you. Father, I speak blessing upon your people. I speak a renewing of passion within each one of our hearts to follow our commitment when we call you Lord and Savior, and Lord, that we would do your will. Father, I speak blessing to not just these here, but Father, we pray also that you would bless families, Lord, and continue drawing us closer to you. Marlon, Rosa, would just come here. We pray for you. We're going to bless them. We want you to join up. Father, we thank you for Milo and Rosa. We thank you, Lord, for their passion, for the desire to serve you in whatever capacity you call them. Father, we pray you continue to lead and guide. Continue to express truth in them and through them, Father, for your body. Lord, you have called them to serve your body, the body of Christ. And Father, we are needful of your word through them. And Father, we pray that not just us, but many others would hear and be edified and built up. Father, protect them, give them strength, give them health, provision, and guidance, Father. May they hear clearly your word, that they may be led to do whatever you ask him to. And Father, may they enjoy a full, complete life. In Jesus' name we bless them. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Again, bless the ministers.